a step of faith and a leap of faith that God will hold me up. He said, I pray that your faith fail not. Now, we understand that Satan has a bad intention. And when we understand people have bad intentions, we normally, as people, we get away from them. But the problem with us is that we think that Satan has plenty to offer. Without saying it and without really thinking it, we think that he has plenty to offer because we go after the world full force. We don't go after God full force. We want God to come after us full force. Come on and say amen. We go after things of the world with all we got. And if we can't have it, we'll cry and fight and kick and scream and do everything we got to do to try to get it. We'll lie, we'll cheat, we'll steal. Whatever we got to do to get it, we'll do it. But Satan has bad intentions for you. But thank God we have a Savior who intercedes for us, who makes provision for us. Amen? Lastly, we got to see the Savior's instructions. Look at what he says. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. When you're converted, strengthen your brother. These are the instructions from Jesus. He says that you're going to fall, but you're going to have enough experience. My Lord. He said, look, he said, tribulation work patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. This ought to build your faith. This thing that you go through ought to make you strong enough that you got enough experience that when you see other people going through, you say, that ain't nothing. I can see you making it. You know what? And that's why I see what God did with me so that I'll be able to tell people it's going to be all right and mean it, because I know he'll bring you through it. I know that he'll make a way for you. It may not turn around tonight, but one night the morning is going to come. Oh, yeah, weeping may endure for a night or two or three nights, but joy, I'm looking for it, comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He said, when you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Now, when you look at the word converted, it is the word epistrapo, which means to turn around. He said, when things turn around for you. When things turn around, when you turn around, when your mind is changed. The Bible said that we ought to, with the renewing of our mind, we ought to have a...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
You get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I want to commence reading at verse 13. Exodus, chapter 14. Commencing with verse 13, recorded are these words. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, moving in the direction of your destiny. Right. Moving in the direction of your destiny. How interesting it is, my brothers and sisters, as Moses is at the helm of this great movement of God, ordered by God to speak a word to the Pharaoh, who had incarcerated, if you will, the people of God, who had captured and had in captivity God's chosen people, who had been there in the presence of Egypt for some 430 years. God hears their prayer. He sends, as it were, a spokesman on his behalf to speak to Pharaoh concerning the releasing of God's people so that they might assume their destiny. It was in the previous chapters where you find the dialogue that interplayed between God and Moses and Pharaoh, and how all of this works its way to this point where we are today, to deal with not only what is significant in Israel's history, but is also paramount to us understanding how we too can move in the direction of our destiny. Our text does not afford us, with the time that we are limited into to investigate it, the end result of where we would like to go in the text, but knowing the story, you will know that God, who is a God of his word, when he says whatever he says, he means it, and he's God enough to back it up. One of the things you need to know is that his word, nor does his will, nor does his way ever change. So because what he said to them and meant then, and what he says to us today and means now, we have the confidence in knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at the text, because you might be on your way, moving in the direction of your destiny. And if you are, you need to pay close attention so that you can discover what it is that you must do or must not do to hinder that movement. Let's look at this word again, and you'll see God speaks to Moses, and the Lord speaks unto Moses, saying, and he tells them how to go and where to go and where to camp. And so they are. He tells them that he's going to deliver them from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gets the news and will hear that the people of God are entangled in the wilderness. Therefore, he who has now had a hardened heart by the will of God wants to pursue those people that he allowed to go free. Now he wants to go back on his word and recapture them, because he recognizes that it was a grave mistake to let go such good servants and or people who would do the work for the Egyptians. He then gets his armies together and he pursues them with the purpose of overtaking them and returning. He wasn't trying to kill them. He wanted to bring them back to Egypt to let them assume or resume what they were doing before he let them go. But I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what you want. If God has already spoken about what he wants, and you've agreed to it, the question then is, are you bigger than God to change your mind? God did not change his mind when he sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, God's people go, not Pharaoh's people. You got to understand, God took ownership of Israel. They were God's people. Whatever God has and calls and attaches the word my and makes it personal, he takes it personal. You can't mess with a child of God without messing with the God of the child. And when you understand that, you'll be careful how you deal with God's people. Listen, if you will, because I want you to see as we get to verse 10, because now they have pursued him. They have come after them, and his heart is hardened. He is determined to take the Israelites back into captivity. But look at verse 10, because I wanted you to see some things before we get into our actual text. Verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, one of the things that I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, is this. When you begin to move in the direction of your destiny, be careful where you look. I want you to get this, because here they were moving toward Canaan, but they had to first cross over the Red Sea. They were on their way. They were facing the direction that they should have been going, but they were stayed by the Red Sea, not yet giving way for them to cross. And so Pharaoh's army is now pursuing them. The wilderness experiences and mountains and so forth did not give to them any coverage or closure so that they could hide from Pharaoh. So there they are now, looking at the enemy behind them rather than looking at their destiny before them. And I got news for you, my brothers. One of the problems with stopping is that you look too much. You lose focus on where you're going when you stop, and a lot of times you get restless and you don't really keep your focus. You lose concentration and you start looking in the wrong direction. I've got news for you. One step ahead of you is better than 10,000 steps behind you. And if you have not yet reached your destiny or destination, then the focus should stay forward. Listen again. The Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, focus in now, the Egyptians marched where? Not before them, but after them. And they were, the children of Israel, sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried, listen at this word, out unto the Lord. Now, it wasn't a good cry. It wasn't a cry of help. It wasn't a cry of hope. It was a cry of fear. It was a cry of them seeing the impending doom and their death meeting them right where they stood. Look at what verse 11 says. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now, there are two things in this verse that I want to show you before I move on to the next verse. The first thing that they were saying and making this statement was that they were comfortable in Egypt. They were comfortable in Egypt. They were comfortable in their captivity. They were comfortable in their situation. They were comfortable in their circumstances. My brothers and sisters, it's a dangerous thing to get comfortable where you don't belong. I said it's a dangerous thing to get comfortable where you don't belong. It's not a good thing to get comfortable. You can ask Samson about that. He got comfortable on the lap of Delilah and messed himself up. It's a bad thing to get comfortable where you, y'all getting quiet, so maybe a whole lot of y'all are where y'all ought not be. So the first problem was they were comfortable in a sin-filled city, in a place that was ungodly, in the enemy's camp. They became comfortable. Look at what the text says. And they said, verse 11, unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Man, we had it all right in Egypt. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst. I mean, at least we had three meals a day. We had a place to sleep. You know, we got along with our masters. We learned how to work with them. They learned how to work with us. We know we wasn't going to get no promotion, no raises, but at least we were all right. See, that's the mentality of people that don't know their destiny or their destination. Being in the wrong place just as long as they can stand it makes it comfortable for them. And this was one of the problems. But that wasn't just the only problem, because that was the prelude to the larger problem. And the larger problem, look at the text and you're going to see it. It says, wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now that brings the point about the next point. Point one was they were comfortable, but they had become comfortable for so long that they had become complacent. Amen. They had settled. They were situated. They weren't looking to move beyond where they were. The complacency of being in the wrong place was their greater damage and danger, and they did not even see it. They thought the worst thing was for Moses to remove them from Egypt and let them die in freedom than to die in slavery. The worst thing they thought was for Moses to pull them from a place they had become comfortable with and knew their rituals daily and knew what they had to do and had mastered what they had to do, and they fixed their minds so much so that they didn't move beyond the possibility of the realm of thinking outside the box or moving outside of Egypt or getting out of this situation, so much so that they had already planned that this is where they were going to live and die, and nobody thought beyond that point. And now Moses comes with a proclamation to Pharaoh to let God's people go. The people of God were not really interested in leaving Egypt, and they were ordered to leave Egypt. And now that they get down to the Red Sea with those issues on either side of them and the army behind them, now the real feelings lash out at Moses because they really were upset that they had come from their place of comfort. Look at what the next verse says, because here's where our next clue comes in it. It says, is not this the word that we did tell thee where? In Egypt, saying, let us alone.
Now they had prayed to God for 430 years. They had not heard from God, had fellowship with God, talked with God. Now all of a sudden, they're not talking with God, but they're talking with the man of God, whom God has spoken to and sent them him down to tell the people, get your stuff together. We're getting out of this sinful place. And he was telling them, I've got to go handle business with Pharaoh to let him know he's got to release you. Well, they wasn't trying to hear this. They told him, listen, man, let us alone. We all right here. It's okay. It's not what we want, but we'll deal with this. And he wanted them to understand it wasn't their choice. I got news for you, brothers and sisters. When it's your time to move to the place that God has for you, he won't allow you to stay comfortable in a place you don't belong. Look at what the word says again. So they were comfortable, they were complacent, but verse 12 reveals that they were contrary to change. Come on now. some of y'all just ain't getting this today. See, let me tell you, because you can look at your own life and see this. Wherever you get comfortable at, and if it's not the place where God wants you to be, you make yourself complacent. You settle for what you've got, even though it isn't what you want, because it's easy. You've learned how to manipulate it to the point where you can deal with it. A whole lot of you are in a stuff, not where you're happy, not where you ought to be, but you're dealing with it because you become complacent because you've been in it so long that even wrong seems right. And if the wrong doesn't seem right, the wrong doesn't hurt anymore like it used to hurt. So in either case, you become complacent dealing with it and accepting it and situating the situation in your own heart and mind as to believe this is as good as it's going to get, so I might as well be satisfied with this. And here is the problem. They, again, were so comfortable and complacent until they became contrary to change. Look at verse 12 again. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Listen at that mentality. So comfortable and complacent that they become contrary to change, that they'd rather stay in a situation that wasn't right than to stand up for their rights and move to their destiny. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't let the devil hoodwink you. Don't settle for less than God's best for you. Touch your neighbor and tell him, don't settle for less. Because I got news for you. If you settle for less, listen at this, because this is important. I need you to hear this. If you settle for less, you won't get more. I had to put it like that to help you understand. Better and best is not going to come to those who are comfortable and complacent. Matter of fact, even on your job, if you're doing a better job, you deserve a better pay. But if you're not doing a better job, you're not going to get a better pay. And here's what you need to know. If you're doing a better job and you know that you're worthy of a better pay, you got to do something more than just sit there and be complacent with where you are. Because sometimes, listen, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. See, you can leave one company getting this and go to another and get a whole lot more. It's not that you weren't worth it at that company. It's because you didn't know how to negotiate, or they wouldn't settle for the negotiation that gave you what you were worth. But when you know how to get what you're worth, listen at this, and if your work speaks for you, the Bible says you're worthy of your hire. So listen, my brothers and sisters, they became contrary to change. But look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Now he has to settle them. That's why he says, stand still. This does not mean we're not moving forward. This does not mean we're not going to continue in our direction of our destiny. He means right at this point, you have got to settle down and gather yourself. Stand still. But notice what he goes on to say. And see the salvation of who? Now, this word in the Old Testament has a dual meaning. It means deliverance as well as being saved. And notice here he's talking about a dual reality. Being saved as the people of God and delivered from the hand of the enemy. Listen to this. Which he will show to you today. Now, here's something I need you to know. If you don't settle down and see what God is doing, you might just miss it. It doesn't mean he's not doing it. It means your nerves are so frazzled. You're so all up in awe till you miss seeing the hand of God work. See, a lot of times what you don't understand is the noise that you hear going on in destruction, sometimes it's construction. What you're missing is if you don't stand still and see what's happening, look at it not just in the natural but in the supernatural. If you don't put your eyes and your focus on God above your enemy, above your problems, above your dilemma, above your situations, if you don't focus on the one who's got this thing fixed, then you're going to miss what God is trying to show you. Listen at this. Listen. The word says, which he will show to you, not me. God's going to show you his salvation. Listen, and he's an on-time God. He's going to do it today. Now, how many of y'all need God to do something for you? Not next week, not next month. How many of you know God is able to do what you need him to do today? Well, here's what you need to do. Stand still and focus on God. Hear what God is trying to say. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now right at that place where the word Egyptian comes up, you can put several different things there. Because the word Egyptians represents anything that is not in the will, the word, or the way of God for you. Anything that's hindering you, you can put it right there, because we're making it personal right now. And whatever your issues are, your difficulties and dilemmas are, you can put it right here, because he says, whom ye have seen today. See, some of you don't know, and I'm gonna help you bring it into context of scripture. Jesus did say in the word, referencing rather Jesus, that you can cast your cares upon him, for he what? Well, when can you cast them on him? You can cast them right now, today. And if you cast them on him, do they any longer belong to you? No, they're no longer your cares, they're his cares. And you put the cares in the hand of the one who can take care of it. Listen, I want you to see something else. First of all, the Bible says, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, that was enough right there to shout on. The Lord shall fight. You know, in my own experiences, personally and professionally, every fight that's been won where God fought it for me was the best fight I ever had. I mean, I was able to sleep at night. Didn't lose my appetite, had joy and peace in the midst of the storm, because all I had to do was hold my, all I had to do was just keep my mouth closed. Matter of fact, at this point, because there are different fights that God fight for you, but there are some fights God don't even want you to say nothing. He just wants you to open your mouth and see. And if you open your mouth, don't say nothing. He said, hold your peace. Because you got to understand, if God's fighting it, he's going to fix it. And listen, here's the thing that might argue, he might not fix it the way you would have fixed it. But he's going to fight the battle. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Now, listen at this word that Moses gets, because both of them have cried to the Lord. The people cried to the Lord according to the word. And now Moses is crying to the Lord, but there is a difference between the cry of the people and the cry of Moses. Moses' cry is a cry of help so that he might know what to do next. Whereas the people cry was a cry of doubt. They were disturbed. It was fearful. Now God is telling Moses, man, what are you crying to me for? We've already had this conversation. We've already talked about where they're on their